How are you, sir?
All good. How about you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us again. It's been, what, 3 years, I think now. It was first
Probably.
part of the pandemic and
Yeah. That's over.
yeah. I love your background with the books and the whole thing.
That's not
Is
a
that a
bad.
virtual?
This is the whole place right here.
That's pretty cool. I like it.
Looks fake, but it's a loft in downtown Columbus that I decided to turn into a studio, so we like it.
Pretty cool. Well, I sent you what I posted to everybody this morning in our daily spark, which I thought was pretty good. Got some great quotes from you in there, and I've been talking this up as my favorite author. So everybody, Anthony has written 4 books. I think one of his best is The Lost Art of Closing. Eat Their Lunch is also a great book. But always focused around the sales and asking the questions and being that salesperson that's not necessarily the used car salesperson. And
Let's not be that.
let's not be that. And Anthony, I mean, that's just one of those things that I've always enjoyed about all of your books and the conversations that we've had is the approach and the mindset that you have to sales.
I'm going to try to switch a mic and let's see if you can still hear me, okay? All right, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's
Yes.
the good mic. Okay, there we go. I'm happy now. I was a little worried about this. My family owns staffing businesses, and we've got some in Columbus, Cincinnati, Charlotte, and we have a whole bunch out in Phoenix. And I still have one hand on the family business's steering wheel. And we were struggling to get a deal that we wanted, and we knew that we had a shot at it, and no one could get a meeting. So I started prospecting. Now, I haven't had to prospect like this for a very long time. I got a great team over there. They do a great job, but they were struggling. And I made the phone calls. I left the voicemails. I sent the emails. I texted people on their cell phones until I got a meeting. And then I got that meeting, and I turned that meeting naturally into another meeting, right? And then another meeting. And then after I'm done talking to you people, I'm going to go sign a contract for $7 million. So that's the game that we play, right?
That is the game.
Yeah. So it's taking one meeting, creating enough value for the client that they say, I will take another meeting, and then having another meeting until you get all the way through whatever your process looks like. For us, we can do it in maybe 3 to 4 conversations. And this business of training, we can normally do it in 2 to 3, but sometimes it takes more. So it just depends on where you are and what your buyer needs from you. And that's why I like The Lost Art of Closing, even though it's the only book I don't have any more of. This book, the first book, everybody says, I'm a better spouse, I'm a better parent, I'm a better human being. And then when they see this book, Eat Their Lunch, they say, I used to think I was consultative, but now I know I'm not. And then this book, everybody just, it changes their whole mind about discovery altogether. But The Lost Art of Closing only ever gives me one piece of feedback. Everybody that's ever sent me anything about that book says just one thing. I make more money than I used to make. That's the only thing they ever say. They never say I'm a better anything except for I have more money than I did before I started practicing this. So if you want to talk about that, I'm happy to take questions or whatever I can do to serve you. Can't be shy in this industry, can you? It's impossible. Every good thing that ever happens to a salesperson comes from meeting a stranger. That's what is most important, meeting new strangers, and then making them friends and clients. No questions? You want me to filibuster? Listen,
Hello. Can you hear me?
I got you now, yeah.
All right. Hi, this is Alex. Thank you, Anthony, for taking the time to share your wisdom with us. I just wanted to know, I have not read any of your books, but I'm definitely going to download some on my Audible today. I'm excited to get to know your style. Can you give us some tips on what you just said, the last part about how you helped people increase their revenue?
How do you help people increase their revenue? How do I do that?
What was the tip that you gave in that book that really helped people get to that next level where they said they're definitely making more money?
All right, so let me tell you the first rule in The Lost Art of Closing. And this is something that for some reason, nobody recognized this and nobody did it, but I was already doing it because I've been a salesperson since I was 12. And that's been like at least 6 years ago, maybe even longer, I don't know, it's been a while. The rule is called the trading value rule. And the trading value rule says this: if you ask a client to give you time and to have a conversation with you, you have to tell them what they get out of that meeting. It's not what you get out of the meeting, it's what they get out of the meeting. And the more that you have a great value proposition for a first meeting, the easier it is for you to get that first meeting. And then if you can do something like an executive briefing and then teach them something that they don't know, you can easily get to the second meeting. And since you would be the only one teaching the client what they don't know that they need to know if they want to make a good decision and get the best results, when you do that, then they think this is probably the right person for us to be working with, because other people came in and said, hey, tell me about your problems. Tell me about your pain points. Tell me about your hot buttons. What are you dissatisfied about? And it's like, Jimmy, is it your third day on the job? Like, you don't know these things already? How could you not know? You called me to ask me for a meeting, and now you're asking me questions like you didn't already have a plan or a theory about what kind of problems I'm having? Of course you know those things. So one of the things that you have to do is just get very, very clear on when you ask for this meeting. And if you want me to do it, I'll do it for you. But you have to ask me. I'll give you the talk tracks if you want them. If you don't, I'll tuck them back away.
I would love to hear the talk tracks. And you, if I can throw you through a little bit of a curveball, can you phrase it in a way that the real estate industry would relate to it?
Which part of real estate?
The agent centric. So the person helping the buy or the sell of the home and bringing the value in those questions.
For sure. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make a call to Troy and I'm going to say, Troy, it's Anthony Annarino with XYZ Real Estate. And I'm calling you today to ask you for a 25-minute meeting where I can give you an update on the environment that we're in right now, how people are still succeeding right now to find their dream homes, how to finance that in this environment. And even if there's not a next step for us, whoever you're looking to talk to, we're going to give you the questions that you need to ask and what you need to do to be able to be successful. And I know you probably have some concerns about this, Troy, but listen, you are dating your interest rate, but you're marrying your dream home. So you have to get that part straight at the beginning. What do you look like on Thursday? So I'm telling him, I'm going to give him all this information. I'm going to give him an update on what the environment looks like, what he has to do to be successful selling that house or buying that house. Either way, right? We'll take it both ways. Yeah, either way. I have to teach that. That means I'm an expert and an authority because I'm the one that's teaching you what you need to do. Now, why can I do that? This is the fourth book right here. If you haven't read it, it will change your life and it'll also make you a lot more money too. When you show up, you're either a beggar, like I need a deal. I need you to give me this property or to buy this piece of property. I show up as an expert and an authority in my industry because I am, and so are you. And here's the thing that you have to remember, because you sell the same thing every single day. And every single day you're helping people figure out how to get that dream home, to go through the process in the best possible way. And they buy houses, I don't know the numbers, I'm gonna say occasionally, What's the average time span between somebody buying a new home?
Oh, we're at, it's very confused times now because of interest rates. But I mean, historically, what, probably 5 to 7 years?
Yeah, so they do
it. 8 to 12 years now.
8 to 12. Okay. So 8 to 12, you don't make that decision often enough to be good at making that decision because you don't do it very often. And because you don't do it very often, you don't know how to make that decision. I moved into a house that I built in 2021, and I moved into my new house in 2017. I was there for a long time. You don't buy houses all that often. So how good could you be at knowing how to do that? You need somebody who's an expert and an authority who can tell you, here's what the average price range is in this particular area that you're looking at. There are places over here that's a little bit more where you're going to get a much better house for this. You better teach. And if you're not teaching them the things that they don't know, they'll look for somebody else who will.
Brilliant.
Sales nerd stuff.
I love it.
I have a question.
Well, yeah, because it's a little, I think it's a guy, do you want to talk?
No, what's your comment, please? And then I had a question. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, a lot of the real estate prospecting is taught to just, you know, call and ask if they want to sell, versus asking for the meeting to try and have the conversation to explain to them how you're going to be of value.
This is the thing. So there's contacts and contracts, right? The difference is simply the relationship. So if you can get in their house and you can have a conversation with them, now you're starting to build a relationship. And so when they do that, who do they know? Nobody else asked them to tell them, like, even if you're not going to buy or sell right now, I can give you some information. So when you do have that decision to make, you'll know how to think about it. And maybe this will accelerate it for you, or maybe it won't. It's okay with us. And now if you want to know the other secret that you could do if you want to make a pitch like this is give them a risk reversal. So the risk reversal sounds like this. Even if there's not a next step for us right now, I want to make sure you know who we are and how we think about these things. And if you ever do need anything, I want you to be able to call me on my cell phone. And if you need help, even just thinking about the decision, even before you make it, I'll come down and sit down with you and your family and make sure we get this done right.
That's great. Guy, you had a question?
Yeah, you know, the sort of like the traditional sales wisdom is always be closing. Are you saying it's more valuable to always be opening?
I've said that for the last 13 years. I've said opening is the new closing. Closing deals is really easy. It's all the stuff that goes before it that's a lot harder now. Getting in the room, that's hard. Having the conversation about change, that's hard. Getting consensus among their family and the other people that they have that are also talking in their ears that we don't even know about, that's harder. Like all those things are way more difficult than just closing the deal. And I think if you open more, you're gonna close more. And
I think
if you try to close more without opening more, I think it's harder. I know it is, because I got data on this.
100% correct.
I wish I was. Listen, I don't like the consensus sale at all. I'd like to go back to when I was 22 and I walked in and sat across from a CEO, and then we had one conversation about change, and I would slide a contract across the desk and get one signature and a check, and I could walk out. But it got a lot more complicated over the years.
And that's why the book teaches us to find out who the decision makers are and get them all present for it so that you can get everybody to do it then versus having 3 to 4 meetings back to back talking about the same thing.
Absolutely. You want to try to keep that as clean as you can.
And I think the real estate industry for the most part does that, at least on the listing side. The sales side, which is really where I think we have a hard time getting the buyers, you know, the two spouses on the same page as to who, what they need, whether it's a 3-car, a 2-car, a no car, 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom, like style, like, you know, sitting down with that buyer and having an understanding in that first appointment of what it is that they need. really goes a long ways.
I think that's the best possible way to do that, is to try to get them together. And then tell them you're going to wear a uniform so that you can be like a referee in a boxing match, and that you'll get to give people points for saying something that was really too sharp for the conversation. Whatever you can do to be playful with people on something like that, and tell them you're not going to agree on everything. Why don't we work on the big things first, and then we can deal with the smaller details later. What's most important? And let's get them at least seeing that in their mind, right?
Yes. Find their needs before you get to their wants.
Yeah, and in this book, the words that are repeated most often are counsel, advice, and recommendations. Why am I telling them that you should start with the big vision first? Because I'm an expert and you don't buy houses very often. So I have to give you advice. I have to give you recommendations. And if you don't give them those recommendations, they're already lost. So your job is to grab them by their hands and walk them through the buyer's journey together. That's what your job is. And that's why I wrote this book, is because we think that the client has a lot to say about the buyer's journey, but they don't do it. They don't do it all the time, but we do. So why wouldn't we be guiding them? It's our job to guide them to the result that they want. And that means I have to give them that advice and give them those recommendations so we can make sure they get there.
So the Lost Art of Closing, I have a copy of it. Would you want me to send you mine?
Would you sign it for me?
It's all marked up with highlighter and Sharpie. And
I love
yes,
that.
Yes, I'll sign it and send it to you. If somebody was on the call today, was going to go and have three things to work on today, I would imagine one of them would be go buy the book and start reading it. Number two would probably be, practice, a dialogue. But what would be the three things that you think would be the key takeaway from, listening to you that you could go and implement today?
I can give you life? Very strong direction on this. So I can give you very strong direction. If you want to be great at sales, the first thing that you should do is go get a big pile of data, and then figure out the three or four things that you need to be able to teach somebody to be able to be an expert and an authority and a guide for them. So I would start out, I've actually spoken to a number of real estate companies, and I asked both of the big groups that I did, like that's maybe 500 or so in a room. And I asked the question, what is the average price in the territory that you have right now? And explain to me why that price is where it is right now. And I had two people raise their hand that could tell me it's $425,000. And if you don't know the numbers, if you don't have a detail about this and why this comp is better than this other one, if you don't do that, then you can't give them the advice and the counsel that you need. So the first thing is you need some data. If Troy tells me, hey, things are getting more expensive. Okay, great, that's his opinion. Now I can argue with Troy if I want to, because he didn't give me any data to look at. But if I show him the data and I say, what do you think about this? He's gonna go, I didn't think it was like that. Right, now I can change his assumptions going into a deal. So that is number one. Number two, the only thing that we have to create value for other people as salespeople is a conversation. You don't have anything else. You have nothing else that you can talk about except for how to help this person get a better result. So if you believe that's true, the most important thing for you to get really, really comfortable and super confident, you ever see those things where it's like an iceberg and you see the little top above the waterline and then there's the big real iceberg underneath it, right? You've seen that? The part that's under the waterline is your confidence. So you need the talk tracks on top of this confidence. And if you practice and you role play, even if you just decided, I'm gonna call three people and I'm gonna straight pitch them for a meeting, like your peers here, just call and then see what that feels like. If you do it out loud a number of times, it gets really easy. And if you don't do this and you go out and you say, I'm gonna try to use some good language, but you didn't practice that good language, you're not gonna have the same confidence. So that's the other thing. Now, the third thing that I would ask you to do when you leave here is a really, really important experiment for you to do with yourself and with each other. So let me describe this to you. You are no longer in real estate. You've left real estate, and I call you and I'm like, hey, Summer, it's Anthony Iannarino, and I have some deals to do right now on some houses. I got to do something about mine. I got to find another one, probably in Naples, Florida, or something like that. And I know you don't sell real estate anymore, but I just want you to sit down with me and teach me everything I need to know to get the very best value out of the home that I have, and then how to acquire my dream house in Naples without having to be stretched by the payments because of the interest rates right now. And Summer, could you do that? Could you teach me what I need to know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you don't have anything to sell me. So if you sit down across from a person believing I have nothing to sell this person except for my counsel, my advice, and my recommendations, if you can do that, you will be a great salesperson. If you can not say the name of your company, not say anything about all the different kind of clients that you guys have helped, nothing about your success at all, just go straight focused on that individual and what do they need to know, you'll close way more people. You will close way more deals because that's what people need. They need, we're in this time of great uncertainty. When you're missing uncertain, when you're missing certainty, what do you need? Certainty. How do I get that? Somebody needs to know more than I know. If I know as much as you know, then I don't need you. But you're in a good state because they don't know what they don't know until you teach them this.
Right. Brilliant.
Could you do that?
Oh, I can. I do.
Oh, good. Person. top right to the left. I work that direction, which means I could ask Katie. Katie, could you do that?
I could. Yes. Yeah, sorry, I was muted.
Will you do it?
I will. Yeah. I mean, I believe in giving for the sake of giving all the time, giving for the sake of giving rather than gaining. And it's brought me great success. So yeah. That resonates with me a lot.
Yeah. And they'll like you and they'll say, you know what? We like Katie. We should have her come back and talk to us.
They usually do.
Right. So it's kind of like go in there with not the fear that us as a realtor has something to lose, but as what your client might lose if we don't give our full education and value to them. So, and that's what I believe is like, if I go in there feeling like, oh my gosh, I could lose this deal, then I'm going to lose that deal. You know, I go in there thinking, okay, I got to give the best that I can for this client, for what this client might need and want. You got to leave your company name, yourself, your own wants and needs out the door for a minute and just really evolve yourself into that client and how you can help them and not yourself. And when you can do that, I think you get further. So
look, I have two stories where I gave somebody counsel, and one guy, I gave him an executive briefing on the labor market in Columbus, Ohio, and he refused to believe what I said. And I showed him the data. I'm like, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the Census Bureau, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the New York Times, the Washington Post. You're arguing with a whole bunch of people that aren't in the room. But here's all the data that they all have, and it's the same data. He refused to do it. And at the end, I couldn't convey how important it was for him to raise his pay rates. I tried my best to do this, and I failed. And before I left, because it's my nature, I'm an Enneagram 8. So if you know what that means, then you know I am one of the anger personality types adapted for what I do right now. But I said to him, friend, in September, you're going to need a shovel so you can dig a big hole behind your building here and then throw your business in it because you're dead in September. And I'm not telling you this to be funny. I'm telling you this, like, you will not be here in September. And he said, I don't think you're telling the truth. I said, see you in September. In September, he lost his business. because I did not convey to him well enough. And I'm taking my own responsibility for my side of this. My side was to teach him this. He couldn't be taught, at least not by me. And he lost a business. I had another one that lost 4 multi-million dollar clients because I told them, raise your pay rate before the fourth quarter or you're not going to get any people. And I literally had a guy, the COO, say, you will fly to Columbus and tell us what you're doing for us. And when I walked in, he made sure to not look at me because he's trying to be the big man. And after he stopped writing nothing on a whiteboard, he came over and said, what are you going to do to help us get people? And I said, nobody can help you anymore. Your pay rate's too low. And he said, your competitor was sitting in the same chair that you were sitting in right now just 2 hours ago, and he told us our pay rate isn't the problem. And he said, is he lying? I said, no, Robert, he's afraid of you. And I'm not. And I have to tell you the truth. And I'll always tell you the truth, even if you don't like the truth. And we had a little bit of a back and forth. He's also an 8. It's not hard to find that out when you find somebody who was as conflict comfortable as he and I both were. And ultimately, he lost his account because he didn't take my advice. So I think that what we do when we go out into the world and we sit down with people is really important, because they will make mistakes if they don't get good counsel, if they don't have somebody that cares about this, if they don't have somebody that will give them the time and spend time with them, making sure that they understand the decision that they're making and how to do these things, then I think we're not doing what I call good work. And I think we should do good work for people because it's the best thing that you can do with your time. You're here for 4,000 weeks. I got about a little under 13 left. I count all of them. Every week is worth looking at because it's good here.
It is. Well, Anthony, I tell everybody 15 minutes on these things, and
We go 30.
That's okay, you know.
That's okay.
That some of them go. It's okay. With I want to value your time because I also told you 15 to 20 minutes, and you know. Any final thoughts or?
We appreciate it. I'm hanging on to every word, so it's not lost time that you're so generously giving us.
I think you guys are 99% of the way there already. I might just be reinforcing, right?
Yeah.
You're allowing us to remember it.
Yeah. And just remember, like every person counts. And I just think that we have the privilege of going out and helping people make decisions that are, I mean, for you guys, this is some of the most important decisions they ever make in their lives. And you helping them do that is a wonderful thing for you to do. So thank you. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'll send you my
book.
Thank you. No, my wife just ordered 10 more, but those books, we keep signing them for people and sending them out. And Amazon keeps raising the rate on my book. And I think it's because I buy a lot of my books.
What's like, your favorite book of yours?
Do you have children?
I have a toddler.
A toddler? You just have one?
He's 5.
So you got a favorite. Yeah. Well, I have 3, so you can't do this with 3.
I have 4.
Who has 4?
Summer.
Good for you. You know how many babies we have right now?
The what?
We don't have enough babies. Like we're having a demographic drought. You're going to have fewer people buying houses from you in the future because there's no babies being made. The millennials don't want babies. My kids are Zoomers. They think climate change is going to cause them to not have babies. If you had 4, that's replacement rate for you and your husband or a significant other. And you gave us 2 extras. That's awesome because nobody's doing that. The average woman that has a baby has 1.6. You need 2.21 to replace people. And in case you don't know this, there's 76.4 million baby boomers. And 10,000 of them turn 65 every day in the United States and start working their way towards retirement.
Look at me giving back to the community already.
What's that? You did give back to the community. I gave a replacement rate plus one. Summer did double that. But when they're gone in 2030, they're out of work. Like, they're all going to be retired by that time. And the millennials are having almost no babies at all. And they will become workers in 2045. So very weird time.
Yeah. But
all the relationships that you can and all of them that you want right now, because it's going to be very, very important for you in the future. I promise you this is true.
So which is your favorite book?
This is my soul as a salesperson. Like, this is who I am in a book form.
What's the title? I can't see it. I'm sorry.
Elite Sales Strategies.
Oh, I'm getting it.
And it's a book about being what we call one up, which means I know something you don't know. And if I were to teach it to you, you'd be able to make a better decision and get the best outcome.
Yeah, if we can get people to listen.
Yeah. Keep talking. Keep talking.
I don't shut up. Have you met me yet?
So far, you're proving that to be true. Now, the rest of you who are able and can have more babies, please get working on that. Because demand goes down when there's fewer people, just so you know.
So less houses in 20 years. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today. I truly appreciate it. And we'll spread the word.
Do good work.
Thank you, sir.
Again,
thank you. Thank you.